2 Chronicles chapter 32. I'm glad to be in God's house this morning when we won't be nowhere else. And it's good to be here today. I am. When I tell you this from the depths of my heart, I am so glad to see you today in church. And I want this message to be a help to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Begin to read with me in verse 1. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountain, which were fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. And so there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him." You need to remember that. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, help us now while we might preach. Save somebody that's lost. Deal with hearts. I pray you've already dealt with hearts and how you've stirred in my heart today. And I thank you for that. My God, there may be somebody sitting on these church pews that's lost without you, dying and going to hell, needing to get saved. And God, I pray they'll move today. Would you touch us and anoint us afresh? And Lord, I pray you'd help us preach today, for we cannot do it without you. And help the one, Lord, that just needs to come and lean on you today. And we'll give you the glory for it all. Help us now for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I know today's Easter and folk have got places to go and things to do, but if you just give me your attention for just a little while, and I'll try to get you out of here as fast as I know how. But in chapter 32 of the book of 2 Chronicles, you'll find that the king of Assyria, King Sennacherib, had come against Judah. Now if you look in the previous chapters, the prior chapters, you'll find that I believe back in chapter 29 or chapter, I believe it was chapter 29 that King Hezekiah has took over the kingdom. And he begins to set things in order. As a matter of fact, from chapter 29 all the way up to the end of chapter 31, he is setting things in order. Matter of fact, one of the first things that it tells us about King Hezekiah, that he is following the Lord God just as his father David did. And you know what? That is a great follow. I know David messed up, but when it talks about following like King David did, that means he was doing what God wanted him to do. He opened the temple back up. The temple had been closed up. He cleansed the temple. He brought everything in there that didn't belong in there. He began to set in order the priests and the Levites, and he began to get ready and that for temple worship. As a matter of fact, he began to keep the Passover. They hadn't been keeping the Passover, and so he begins to keep the Passover, and he encourages and that Judah to turn unto God. He tore down the idols in chapter 31. You can go back and look. You'll find that they tore down all their idols. And he told them, "There's one place you need to worship, and that's in the temple, that's at the altar, and that of God is where you need to worship and burn incense at." And then if you begin on reading, you'll find that people begin to tithe and that unto God. Boy, you get your heart right, you'll see that money just don't mean near as much as it used to mean. And they were bringing and that to the work and that of God. And so he's getting everything set in order. And so we come to chapter 32, and what does your Bible say? Look with me in verse 1. And after these things and the establishment thereof, after he had set things in order, he had established worship, he had established right things, he was doing right, then who shows up? Why, the enemy does. Why is it that in your home and in your life, when you decide that you're going to serve God, and you're going to give him your time, your tithes, your talents, your treasures, when you decide to do all that, why does then the devil come knocking? As long as you're not serving God, the devil could care less about you. You're just out wandering around, out there thinking you're doing something on your own. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. But friend, I'm going to tell you, you're either serving God or you're serving the devil. And in all that, you're serving yourself too. And I'm telling you what, it's going to end bad every time. Amen. Hit me up, church. But listen, the enemy shows up. And when the enemy shows up, a lot of people just give up. Why is it worth and that serving God? Why is it worth and that the battle? Why is it worth the fight to do right? When I wasn't doing right, when I was just living my own way and doing my own thing, I didn't have all this to contend with or to deal with. I'm going to tell you why. He said, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. I'm going to tell you, that Savior that rose out of that grave and lives inside of every saved person is greater than the devil. He's greater than you, and he will help you fight your battle. But notice in verse 8, and here's where I want to focus on this terminology here. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battle. And so I ask you a question today, is what you're doing for the Lord in the arm of the flesh, or is in the power of God? I question my motives a lot of times. And I've told you this, church, if you let that thing go, it'll wear you out. I mean, if the devil, he'll come and jump up on my shoulder and begin to question my motives sometimes. And I'm going to tell you, we need to look at why we're doing some things. And we need to look at how we're trying to get it done. And I'll get there here in a minute. But I want you to see, we're just going to look at three things, and I'm going to hurry. I want you to look that, first of all, how the king of Assyria was battling in the arm of the flesh. But King Hezekiah and Judah, and that was going to trust God. Now notice here that the enemy, if you go back to the very first part, said it encamped against them. They just didn't show up and get scared and run away. They encamped. You know what that means? They set up outside of the fenced cities over there. You know what the devil will do to you? He'll set up on side of your fenced cities. He'll come and he'll visit with you, and it'll seem like he ain't going to go away. And if you'll notice right here, it said that he thought to win them. Ain't that what your Bible says? And thought to win them for himself. Can I get you to understand something this morning, church? That there's always a battle, and that there's always a fight in the Christian's life. Said, then why would you want to serve God if it's always a battle? Hey, I'd rather serve God and have him fighting for me than trying to be fighting against him. Amen. As I can tell you this morning, if you ain't for him, you're against him, and he's going to scatter everything that you're doing. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the very first thing that Paul said right there in verse 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. It's a fight. He told Timothy at one point, he said, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on the eternal life whereunto thou art called. Am I making any sense this morning to y'all? Am I not telling the truth that when you set your life, your home, we set this church in order, that Satan shows up? I'm going to tell you something, I try not to talk about this sometimes, but in 2019, when we decided we were going to do Faith Promise Missions, we had a mission conference in April, had revival in July, and as both good meetings, and by August, I was a fight in a battle that wouldn't let up for a year and 6 months. I was a fight. You begin to set things in order, Satan shows up. You see what I'm saying? Satan shows. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But we battle either in the arm of the flesh or in the power of God. Well, does that mean we sit back, preacher, and just let God handle it all? If God says to sit back and let Him handle it all, that's what we'll do. You remember what He told King Jehoshaphat over there? He said, there ain't going to be no need to fight in this battle. He said, set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. But I want you to notice what Hezekiah done. When Hezekiah seen him come in verse 2, it said, saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight. Notice he took counsel, but then he began to stop the waters of the fountain which were without the city, and they did help him. You know what he done? He began to do his part of what he could do. You know, God, somebody once said that we do what we can in the service to God, and God does what we can't. You know, I pray and I read my Bible, and I try to invite folk to church and witness to folk, and I talk to folk about the Lord and try to help you. You try to help me. But you know, at the end of the day, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'll guarantee you God will do what He's supposed to be doing. Notice that they stop up the water. You know, some of you are in a battle right now, but you sure ain't helping yourself none. What do you mean you ain't helping yourself? When's the last time you picked your Bible up and read it? When's the last time that you spent any time in prayer and that to God? When's the last time you set your phone down or turned your TV off or got away in that by yourself and just tried to meditate on the things of God? I'm telling you this morning, the reason sometimes we get in a battle is because we just get a little away from God. You know, you can't, he was going to make it easy on King Sennacherib if he didn't go out there and do something. I'm telling you right now, God in the battle wants us to do our part. Amen. God wants us to battle. God wants us to fight. Hey, listen, that's why in Ephesians 6, he lays out the whole armor of God to be strong in the power of His might. He said over at one point in 2 Timothy, he talks about us how that we have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Ain't this a wonderful Easter message? Amen. Some of you all in here love God, love Jesus. I know that you say, but you have fought and fought and fought. And just keep fighting is all I know to tell you. I'm reminded every day, it seems, along the way to just keep swinging. The Bible said He stopped up the water. He strengthened Himself. He rebuilt the broke down walls. You know what that means? He hadn't been taking care of things that needed to be took care of. You need to go back and find some places in your life where you've let some things slip and just need to go back and fix what needs to be fixed. He told them in Revelation chapter 2 to the church at Ephesus, he told them everything that they'd done real good. Except he said, I've got one all to get you. He said, you've left your first love. He said, you need to repent, go back and do the first works. That's what a lot of people need to do. They need to go back and remember where they were when they were serving God, when they could fight, when they were winning the battle. Go back and just fight with God as their help and do what God wants you to do. Amen. You say, it's going to cost me a lot, preacher. It may cost you, sure enough. And listen, I can't tell you how to fix everything because I'm not sure. I mean, I got a hard enough time trying to fix me along the way. But I can tell you this, when you find yourself in the will of God, He'll certainly help you. So here we are. I'm talking about, are we battling in the arm of the flesh or in the power of God? Do you know that we'll lose every time that we battle in the arm of the flesh. 2 Corinthians talks about how that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Take your Bible and go over there and look. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to see this. Look in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. The Bible said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We live in the flesh, and I've told the church this numerous times. I wish I could just punch him in the nose sometimes. It would be a whole lot simpler, I think. But notice as he talks about this, how that the weapons, that our warfare is not in the flesh, and that our weapons are of this warfare are not carnal. It's not of the flesh. Our weapons is, there's nothing that we can take in our hand and be able to defeat the enemy. I wish there was. I really do. It would seem so much easier. But notice he said, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I understand that Satan manifests himself sometimes in other people. And boy, we've got to battle other things and other people out here in this world over the cause of Christ. But I'm telling you, he'll begin to work in your mind. And if you'll let him, he'll exalt himself. And the way that he has us thinking sometimes will get it higher than Christ, that we'll think we're right. We'll figure out, if you ain't careful, let me see if I can get this right here. Now notice what he said, that it's mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. We get things in our life that is a stronghold in our life. It's got a hold on us. I'm getting off track here a little bit. Stay with me. That it'll get a hold on us if we're not careful. And he says, you've got to pull that stuff down. And then he says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. There's things that'll get in our mind that ain't right sometimes. It'll get itself exalted above God's Word and what God's Word says. You do believe the book, don't you? Amen, preacher. I believe the book. Then why do we let what gets in our mind when we know that it's opposite of God's Word? Why are we doing that? And you get in the battle. And I don't know if this would really be the arm of the flesh, but really you're just trying to do whatever you want to do in the arm of the flesh, and you're going to lose. At the end of it all, you're going to lose. But King Hezekiah done something right here. As he encouraged his people, he said, "With him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." I thought about David when he went to fight Goliath. He ran out there and he was swinging that stone. And you know what? That old uncircumcised Philistine over there, I said that he was going to feed him to the fowl of the iron. They said, "Nope, that ain't going to happen." Said, "Listen, you're coming fighting with me. Just take your Bible and go over there and look. 1 Samuel 17. You ain't got to go there. I'll just go there. I can get there before you can, probably. 1 Samuel 17, you know what David said when he came before Goliath? And the Philistine in verse 43, "And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staff? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." You know what he's doing? He's coming in the arm of the flesh, ain't he? He's coming to fight what he knows to fight with. Listen, some people, that's all they know. They only know how to fight with the arm of the flesh. But notice what David said, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied for 40 days and 40 nights." He'd stand out there morning and evening, and he would curse God at the time of the morning and the evening sacrifice. And he said, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day and the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Amen. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And buddies, he took off a running out through there, swinging that sling, and that rock launched out of there and come and popped that uncircumcised Philistine into one place. He didn't have any armor, and that's on the forehead. And you know what he done? I still don't know how he done this, but as the rock hit him in the forehead, he fell forward on his face out of the God of Israel. David jumped on top of him, drawed out the Goliath's own sword, whacked his head off, held it up in the air, and they put the Philistines on the run. Amen. He done that in the power of God, and because he was willing to fight. He was not doing it in the arm of the flesh, but he was willing to fight. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he talked about standing against Alexander the coppersmith, he done that in the power of God when nobody else was around. The enemy threatened King Hezekiah. He took it and laid it out before God. You can read that in the book of 2 Kings. But you'll find that God moved, and the Lord sent an angel in verse 21 of the text verse, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains of the camp, so the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land, and when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him. And there was there with the sword. His own children killed him when he got back home. Most of us would say that we battle in the power of God. Listen to me now. Because we know that it's a losing battle if we don't have God on our side. We realize that. And boy, it's great to preach on battling when God's on our side. But then let me ask you this morning. Number two, are we trying to serve God in the arm of the flesh or with Him on our side? See, Samson, as I studied this, and the Lord said, go over and read about Samson. I said, Lord, Samson messed a lot of things up. Samson judged Israel for 20 years. You can go over and read that. For over 20 years, he judged Israel. And Samson had trouble, man. I mean, he did. He loved women. That got him in trouble. I mean, you can see that over and over and over again. That got him in trouble. You know, one thing that I drawed away from looking at Samson, people with great power with God has to be very careful. Got to be very careful. You know, I've watched good men. Good men. I use preachers, for example, because that's what we are. I've watched good men that had power with God, and you know what happened? Something happened to them. Some kind of sin got in their life. And you know what it done? It cost them their power with God. As I read about Samson, I sat down and read that whole story, and I'm like, Lord, I don't understand what you're trying to show me about Samson. I know he had great power. And I know that it was your power that he had. And it was. The Bible said that the Spirit of God would move upon Samson. I mean, he slew 1,000 men over at the jawbone of an ass. I mean, think about that for just a second. Now think about that. 1,000 men? Say, preacher, do you believe that? I believe the Bible. I believe Jonah got swallowed by a whale. I believe that God created this thing in 6 days. And I believe that Samson killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. I believe that. He carried the gates of the city at one point, threw them up on his shoulder and carried them up on top of the hill. All with the power of God upon his life. I kept, Lord, what are you trying to show me? And we got over there to that last chapter that talks about Samson's life. And the Lord began to show me some things about Samson. Samson had trouble all the way up. And listen to me this morning. Listen to me. God wants me and you to live just as clean and as pure as we can live for Him. He does. He does. But you know what happened? And I've read this to you before. And this is the very scary part. Delilah, you know, if you go back, Delilah sold him out. Because them Philistines said, we'll give you 1,100 pieces of silver. And if I read that right a piece, if you can find out where his strength lies. You know, it was in his hair. You know, we all know the story of Samson, or you should if you've read your Bible, any. And it lied in his hair. And you know, he lied to her about three times there and wouldn't tell her where his power laid. And you know, after a while, maybe the first time, maybe not, Samson, you know, after she tried to take his power from him. But you know, by the second and third time, I'd be scratching my head what Delilah's trying to do to me here. I mean, if three times prior, she's tried to take my power from me and then get the Philistines in there on me, I'd be wondering about some things. I'd be wondering if she loves me or not. But she pressed him every day. And he finally told her all his heart and said, there's not been a razor on my head since the day that I was born. And so she got him to lay down upon her knees, and he laid down, and she had a man come in there and cut his hair off. And the Bible said she began to afflict him and began to poke him and realized that his strength was gone. And the Bible said in Judges 16 and verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And here's the scary part. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. That's one of the most scariest verses in the Bible. I think that not only should be to preachers, but should be to you. Every time I stand up here, I want to make sure that I'm on the right message and that I'm trying to get something from heaven that you need and that I need. And listen, I've seen men get up, and I mean great men, get up and preach, and I mean God be all over them. And you know why God was all over them? Because they had prayed, possibly fasted, read their Bible, sought God. I was living pure and holy and righteous before God. And listen, and God was pleased with them and was willing to use them. But I know of the times when, if I'm not careful, it's even been present in my life. Well, God come by this morning, He'll come by again tonight. Or God come by last week, He'll come by again this next week. And we gets into a routine. You know, the scary part of it was about Samson. Samson didn't even know it. He was going to go fight in the arm of the flesh and didn't even know it. And he was going to try to serve God in the arm of the flesh. To serve God in the power of God, there is some key things that I have found. One is separation out of this world. Now, I'm talking to safe folk, okay? If you're lost, then, man, you can try to separate yourself out of the world all you want to, but it ain't going to help you none. Other than it might help you live a little better and get away from some sin. But I'm going to tell you, until Jesus comes on the inside, it ain't going to make no difference. You know, Joshua told the children of Israel, he said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods of your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve you the Lord. You got to separate yourself and that out of the world and from worldly things and serve God. Got to make a determination. How do you make your determination? I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to study. I'm going to pray. Listen, and I'm going to find out what God wants for my life. You serve in humility. Well, there's a word we don't hear much of. Humility. You know, what I've learned about people that's got the power of God on their life is a lot of times they don't even realize it, son. You know, does that make sense to you? Oh, they know they're serving God. Don't you know when you're serving God and ain't? But I'm telling you, when they stand up to preach or testify or sing or to go out in this world, there's nothing good about them. It's all about Him this morning. And boy, when it's all about Him, that'll make a difference in your life, and He'll come by. That person that's going to have the power of God in their life, it ain't going to be about you, but it's going to be about Him. You'll trust Him. Boy, there's a struggle that I have. What was it, Hebrews 11:6, where he talks about over there, after he talks about faith, he said, now faith is substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. But you come to Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You got to go trust Him and have faith in Him. When the Apostle Paul served the Lord, when he preached, when he went and done any work, it was in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he believed God. He was living a humble life. He trusted God. And he just wanted to live as close as he could to the Lord. How are you trying to serve God today? I don't know if this message is making any sense, but I'm telling you, it helped me. You're either trying to serve Him in the arm of the flesh, you're trying to do it your way, trying to work. I think a lot of times preachers are guilty of trying to make things happen. I mean, I've seen it evident in my own life. We try to make things happen. Now, I believe in being attentive to the Holy Spirit. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But I'm going to tell you this. Most of the time, by the time that I've sung that second verse for invitation, if people ain't moving, we're probably going home. You want to know why? Because I can't make you come. Now I'm going to be attentive to the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit says, sing another verse, these boys back there know, we'll sing another verse. But I can't make you come. And if I did make you come, there ain't going to be much to it. But if God has dealt with your heart, that's what matters, you see. When God does a work in your life. Stay with me on this lesson. I'm going to close. These people trying to battle either in the arm of the flesh or in the power of God, or we're trying to serve Him in the arm of the flesh or in the power of God. But now there's some people trying to be saved with the arm of the flesh.
That's right.
Yep. And you'll find good men. Nicodemus chapter 3. Take your Bible and go over and look. John chapter 3. Did I say Nicodemus chapter 3? John chapter 3. We're going to talk about Nicodemus. Sometimes we get in the way up here. Our flesh gets too wound up here. John chapter 3. Look about Nicodemus. I'll cut that out before it goes on radio. No, I probably won't. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. See, he's a Pharisee. He's ruler of the Jews. He knows something about God. He's a good man. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I mean, Nicodemus is a good man. He knows the law. He understands the law. Well, notice what Jesus said to him the very first when he came to him and said, Lord, we understand. He calls him Rabbi, meaning teacher, you know. And he says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because you couldn't do these things if you hadn't come from God. But I want you to look at the very first thing Jesus tells him. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It did not matter how good Nicodemus was. He said, you must be born again. There's a lot of people trying to be saved with the arm of the flesh. They're trying to do good. They're trying to work their way there. They're trying to let their good outweigh their bad. They're trying to keep laws that friend that just don't matter. I'm telling you, until Jesus comes on the inside and sets up, until you accept Him as your personal Savior, you're trying to be saved by the arm of the flesh. It won't work any other way. Saul of Tarsus, a man who killed Stephen, who consented to the death of Stephen, was persecuting and killing the church. And all the time he thought he was doing right. But in Acts chapter 9, God met with him on the road to Damascus. Paul was a Pharisee. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he lays all his credentials out at one point and tells everything. He talks about as touching the law. He said, I was blameless touching the law. You know what that means? He kept the law. He was doing it in the arm of the flesh, trying to do all he could to appease a God in heaven. Some of you all have been there, and some of you all may be there now. But when you come to the place to where you realize that the arm of the flesh ain't going to get it done, but you're just a sinner that needs to be saved, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sinner in the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You can't get away from sin until you come to Jesus Christ. You cannot get away from that. No matter how much work you do, no matter how much you occupy your time to try not to think about it, you're going to have to come to Christ. The Bible said, so then they, in Romans 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Does He dwell in you? Have you accepted Him? Have you trusted Him to be your Savior? Let me ask you this. How are you battling today? Arm of the flesh or with the power of God? How are you trying to serve God? Seen people, no, well, I won't say I've seen people, I've known people. They'll drag people, and I mean literally drag people to the altar. It don't do no good. You can try to make people come, but it won't do no good. But man, when God's involved, how are you trying to be saved? By your works? By the arm of the flesh? Or by trusting God today? And His blessed Son. Let's bow our heads this morning. Come to the piano, Brother Marvin. Brother Jeff, let's get a verse. Not your typical Easter message. But do you know you're going to heaven? Let me ask you. If I ask you, do you know you're going to heaven? And you say yes. How do you know that? How do you know you're going to heaven? I'm going to heaven because I trusted Christ one Sunday night as a 14-year-old teenage boy to come into my heart. And I asked Him to save me. It was no longer by the arm of the flesh that I was trying to be saved, but by trusting Him in the power of God. How are you trying to serve Him today? Christian, how are you trying to serve Him? In the arm of the flesh? You know, when it's about you and not about Him. Church, we need to battle in His power today. Not in the arm of the flesh. I encourage you, if you need some help, I want you to come today. If you need to be saved, I want you to come today. For He wants to save you and get you ready for heaven.